Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Coming up, Ray Woodson makes his debut on Inside China Basin for 2018, and we'll talk about the first week of the season for the Giants. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, baseball season finally got underway. Now it seems like there hasn't been any baseball for a long time because the Giants had a day off, a scheduled day off on Thursday, and then they had their first game postponed by rain in 12 years, and only the sixth time it's ever happened at AT&T Park. It's hard to believe. I mean, it does rain around here, but I guess not this time of year very often, and it was pouring. They really had to postpone the game. There was just no choice about it. So it's a little strange for the Giants to have a couple of days off here at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, this is not usually what you plan. For Bruce Bochy, you know, he was going with a four-man rotation at the start, and he's not going to change that now with the extra day off. But, yeah, for the Giants, especially for California teams, you do not expect this, even in April. It does, like you said, it does rain here, but, this is one that everybody's warned about 2 or 3 days before. So you had a notion that this was going to be a day off, and I think everybody had that mindset anyway. So, that they're able to adjust accordingly. I think for the Giants, you want to get more games in at home, obviously, because you started off in the road in L.A. But we're six games in, and we just haven't gotten a real feel of this team yet.
Well, they certainly rebounded with the bats because it looked like they're in the first five games that not much was going on. I mean, it's just Joe Panic and that's it. And then all of a sudden against King Felix, who, by the way, didn't look like the same King Felix at all. I mean, where was the fastball? It just wasn't there. But, Giants are hitting home runs left and right, three home runs in one inning. That was a good breakout game for them. I'm sure they didn't want to have a day off and then a rain out right after that because it looked like the bats were, they're finally starting to get going. Pablo Sandoval hits one into the bay. He just showed that. It wasn't a fluke maybe in spring training. He's going to be a viable player to come off the bench or, spell Longoria at third base, and same thing with Belt at first base. So I think, a lot positive came out of the last game that the Giants played on Wednesday.
Well, that's just it. You want to keep playing after a game like that for sure, especially when you go up against a big-name pitcher and you take him out. And you're right, King Felix doesn't look the same. He's not King Felix anymore. He had a pretty good opening start where he threw five-plus shutout innings. But, the fastball velocity is way down. He's getting by on a lot more off-speed stuff and a lot more guile. And it's hard to believe, 14th season in the major leagues now. That snuck up on me quickly. So he's not the same guy. He's going to have his moments, but that game was not one of those moments, and they were able to get after him early and often. And that's a confidence builder because, they were not able to hit at all outside of Panic against the Dodgers. And they were being outscored 20-6 in their first few games. So the run differential was not looking good. This offense, it's bound to be better. And I know people are going to roll their eyes after the first few games. It's bound to be better when you look at the veteran hitters you have and the tough at-bats that you're going to have that are going to extend pitchers a little bit more, make them work a little harder through the lineup. If nothing else for this lineup, get some guys who are going to put together some decent at-bats against pitchers and make them work a little more. You would think that's going to be the case with a guy like McCutchen, with a guy like Longoria. No, they're not at their peak anymore, but they're still able to be effective ball players, I think. And, you know, they've had both had slow starts. I think they're pressing a little bit with the new club. They want to make an impact. It's going to happen. Fans have been freaking out, Joe. I don't know if you've noticed this on Twitter.
Yeah.
4 or 5 games, they're freaking out.
Well, I mean, yeah, you look at it. I mean, it's such a small sample size, but I guess they're looking at the newcomers and they're seeing that McCutchen is 2 for 24. Longoria is 1 for 19. The one hit was the home run at the home opener. Austin Jackson is 2 for 15. But yeah, it's a small sample size. And actually, let's listen to what Andrew McCutchen said on this podcast the other day on Inside China Basin. He was talking about the slow start and how, you know, he's not going to panic.
No one looks at the way you start when the end's here. No one really talks about that. It's pretty temporary. So, you just have to keep moving, keep pushing, taking it day by day. You know? That's just that's the mentality you got to have, honestly, in this game. So, yeah, that's all you're trying to do. Just keep going and keep pushing. And, when you look back on it, you'll be able to assess everything. But rarely anyone looks at the beginning, though. No one pays attention when he ends here.
So he doesn't sound too concerned, and that leads me to believe, and I always think this, Ray, that players try to ignore what fans are saying, media. I mean, it's probably best for them to never pick up a newspaper or look at social media. I mean, they probably do. You know, a lot of guys do, but you got to ignore it as much as you can. You might read it, but you can't take it to heart is what I mean. And, he just sounds like he's okay with the slow start because he knows he's going to come out of it.
Well, he's been around long enough to know that you're going to have slumps. And sometimes at the start of the year, sometimes they're at the middle of the year. You know, he had a season slump basically a couple of years ago, bounced back nicely last year offensively. So you play this game long enough, you know that you can't be too high with the highs and too low with the lows. And the thing I look at with McCutchen is he's starting to have a few more loud outs, some hard hit balls at people. And eventually they're going to fall if you take the right approach. So, yeah, please don't look at 15, 20, 25 at bats and judge a guy. But I sense that at least among some in the fan base. This team should be better offensively when all is said and done. Is it going to be good enough to overcome, you know, some of the issues they have with the pitching staff, with Madison Bumgarner out? That remains to be seen. I look at them, you know, as the best case scenario of being on the cusp of a wild card spot, being in contention in September. And of course, you don't know what kind of deals you can make by the trade deadline. But of course, they're going to be better than last year. I think last year was perfect storm. There were some, you know, structural problems with this team, no doubt about it. And they addressed some of that. So they should be better. It's just they're in a very tough division. You know, you look at the way Arizona's playing. Of course, the Dodgers, once they get everything together with Justin Turner back in the lineup, they're going to be very tough. They're vulnerable against lefties now. But, you know, every season takes on a different personality. Every season is different. And so even though they lost 98 last year, they got a different lineup this year. So you got to let it marinate, let it play out for a little bit before you start making snap judgments.
You know, I always think, Ray, that it's difficult to join a new team. And, you know, I think Evan Longoria downplayed that at spring training when I interviewed him. He was talking about how, yeah, he's no longer the face of a franchise. He can just kind of mix in. But I take the opposite tact on that one and just think, if I'm joining a new team, I want to show everybody what I can do, even though I've already proven myself somewhere else. But now I'm in this uniform. You know, I may have played well somewhere else, but, you know, I hate to bring up A.J. Pierzynski, but, you know, he was a pretty good player. And then he comes here and he was terrible. And it just didn't work out for him. Now, I'm not saying that for these guys. Hopefully everything works out great for them. But I feel like at the beginning of the season, when you first put on that new uniform, you're in the clubhouse with a bunch of new guys. Maybe you do press a little, and you're not telling the media that, but maybe you do have a little bit of extra pressure because you want to show everybody who you are. You did it somewhere else, but you're trying to do it here in San Francisco.
No, it's a whole new scene for a guy like Longoria. And if you care, yeah, you're going to want to make a good impression with a new club that has a good reputation, that you've respected from afar, and that you respected the way they play the game. And I think Longoria said all those things. And so if you have any kind of professional pride, yeah, you want to go out there and make a good impression if you can. And the tendency sometimes is to press when you're with a new club. But you just get through that. And Longoria hit his first home run the other day, so he kind of broke the seal there. looking for McCutchen to break out here pretty soon. And then they'll settle down because they are veteran ball players. But I think at first you're right. I think it's the opposite. It's not, I don't need to prove myself. I think because of your professional pride, you feel like you need to prove yourself.
We'll continue the conversation with Ray Woodson on Inside China Basin right after this. When it comes to Giants baseball, family memories are created one summer at a time. And the same can be said for your family vacation. How about an experience you will never forget? Shasta Lake is one of the most beautiful places to visit in California, and there is no better way to experience it than to rent a houseboat from houseboats.com. Jones Valley and Silverthorne Resorts are located on the Pitt River arm of Shasta Lake, unquestionably the very best area of Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there with rentals ranging from the finest and largest houseboats available for rent in California to entry-level models for small groups or those new to houseboating. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Let's get that vacation planned. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. I want to talk about Pablo Sandoval because I have to admit, I mean, right now it looks like I was wrong about him. I thought he was done. I mean, I thought last year he didn't show much at the end of the year. I know he had a home run the last game of the season, but in spring training, he came in like a man on a mission, you know, played well enough to make the team. I think he's going to be a valuable piece now. I mean, just look at him. I mean, obviously he hit that home run the other day, so now I'm all excited about that. And he had four, RBIs, but, you know, he's got experience, you know, to come off the bench. I think it's good to have somebody who's got pop, first of all. I mean, it's nice to have Kelby Tomlinson, who's got a lot of guts coming off the bench and works the at-bat, but he's not going to hit a three-run homer very often. Pablo Sandoval's got that ability, so I see him being a valuable piece off the bench, and, I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere for me. How about you?
Well, I didn't have high expectations when he came last year, and I still don't. Even so, he's working with a small margin of error here. Even with the fact that he's playing for the minimum, it's that at this point in his career, after all that's gone on the last few years, nobody's expecting much. But at the same time, you got to do something to prove that you belong here. Otherwise, it looks just like a publicity stunt. Well, it looks like he took it to heart. He took it seriously going into spring. So he did all the things you wanted him to do, and he's come back with the right attitude. And he's certainly comfortable playing in a Giants uniform and playing in this ballpark. But I think he hit on it. The bench has had no pop the last few years, none whatsoever. So you're going to look for it anywhere you can find it. And he got the spot start the other day, and he's done well against King Felix in the past. And he had a hell of an at-bat, by the way. I think he worked the count to 3-2 and before he put one in the water. He's a guy who can put one in the water. Maybe not that often, but there's at least a threat. So for that reason alone, and the fact that he can play some third base and first base, and he's an emergency catcher too.
Yeah,
you keep him around. See what he can do, and if he sticks, it's great. It's a great story, and I think that's what Bruce Bochy and all those guys are rooting for. Personality wise, yeah, he may have rubbed a few people the wrong way in the clubhouse. Things he said. In fact, there's no maybe about it. I know he did, but it's a whole new group now. It's a whole new start for him. So if it works out, great. I don't think they're going to be selling any more panda hats. But at the same time, it could be a nice chapter in his career.
You know, I wondered about that, too. If I were Evan Longoria, I'm not going to say that I'd feel uncomfortable because, you know, I'm confident in my abilities. And they brought me here. They traded for me to make me the third baseman. But at the same time, if Pablo goes on a tear, you know, and they're wearing the panda hats and he was a hero here, let's face it. You know, all of a sudden you start to feel a little edgy that, you know, hey, I'm not doing well. He was the third baseman before. You know, it's just it feels a little uncomfortable, doesn't it?
I don't know. I think the deal going in if you're a guy like Longoria, but, you know, they still got some meat on the bone as far as his contract, right?
Yeah.
Pablo, they're not paying much. So
no.
The incentive for the Giants is to make sure this works out with Longoria, right? But it could well work out the other way, where you could see that scenario where Sandoval gets more starts if Longoria struggles. But I just don't see that at the start. This is not a Casey McGee situation, all right, from a couple of years ago. McGee coming from Miami, and he had a couple of good years there. And I remember talking to him on the air about coming home, right, because he had folks in Santa Cruz,
yeah,
about wanting to try too hard for the home crowd. And he said, yeah, that's something that he'd have to deal with and work through it. And turned out he didn't work through it. He pressed so hard and was hitting a double plays every other at bat that it was a snowball effect. I mean, I've never seen anybody hitting the rate of double plays that dude did. But of course, as I pointed out before the season began, he led the league in double plays the year before, 31, I think it was. But this is not that situation. This was an elite-level ball player who's down from that level but still can contribute. And as you can see from his play at third base, he's very smooth there. And so that gives you a very good defensive infield. And again, with a team that wanted to improve defensively and needed to find areas where they could improve everywhere, that's another incentive to keep him out there. Because that infield with Belt, Panic, Crawford, and Longoria, you're a guy like Madison Bumgarner or Ty Block, who gives up a lot of ground balls. That's who you want out there, not Pablo Sandoval every other day. So,
yeah, I agree.
So defensively, you don't want that. However, again, with Sandoval, he can play some first base. So that allows you maybe to rest Buster Posey a little bit more instead of playing him at first base. That could have some dividends as well if Pablo is able to be an effective ball player.
Funny, when you mentioned McGee, that's the first thing I thought of was double plays and how aggravating that is. And I mean, a lot of it has to do with just bad luck. I mean, you could be hitting the ball hard, but right at the shortstop and second baseman or third baseman, and you're just hitting it to double plays, and it just seems like it's so devastating to the team. You know, you're just killing the team by doing that. I want to talk about the pitching because there have been a couple of real positives so far. Johnny Cueto, I mean, he looks like the Johnny Cueto of a couple of years ago, not last year when he had the blister problem and he got to spring training late. And, I mean, he just looks like he's in great shape. He's throwing the ball really well. And Hunter Strickland looks like a pretty good closer right now. I mean, he's got more stuff than just the fastball. He worked on his slider. He worked with John Smoltz. That was well documented. And, I mean, it looks like he's a guy who can have a breakout season right now because that's what you always wanted from him. We need something slower. We need a change up. Looks like he's got that right now. We'll see how it goes. Of course, it's just a small sample size again, but it's really a positive so far, it seems.
Yeah, well, that's all we have right now with guys like Strickland and Pablo is recency bias because we've only had a week of baseball. But just in a couple of appearances we've seen with Strickland, he does look like a different pitcher. We'll see if that plays out over the course of a season. You know from the get-go, and I'm going back to 2014, the Giants loved this guy. I think partly because the way he looks on the mound, he's got that presence about him. He's that big dude, lantern jaw, could throw 98. But as we have seen it, there's a lot more to it than that, especially when your fastball doesn't have a lot of movement and you're putting it in the hitter's zone. He's been better as far as giving up the gopher ball, by the way. Last year, we had a pretty good home run rate. But, you know, could you have a comfort level with him closing games? No, not at all. He needed to get a good, reliable secondary and tertiary pitch, for that matter. And he's worked on that. Worked on a curveball, too. So, what I like to see is not only that he's got good action on those pitches, but he's got good location and command. Because when you're kind of inside your head, the command can get away from you, right? Then you start throwing up cookies. And even if you have a good slider, if it breaks over the hitter zone, it's gone. And we've seen a few hanging sliders the last few years. So that's what I like so far. He takes the ball and he's not backing down from the challenge and he's using his pitches effectively. We'll see if that plays out over the course of a season.
Ray, when you look around baseball and the early storylines, I mean, of course, the Astros look great and the Dodgers have struggled a little bit. The Yankees, it's fun every time you see Stanton and Judge. I mean, I saw one game where they homered in the same game, and that was fun to watch. But the one story that's kind of sticking out that's real negative is Gabe Kapler managing in Philadelphia. I mean, he's getting booed at the introductions. He had a rough first week. He pulled the pitcher early, Nola. He went to the bullpen, and the reliever wasn't ready. I mean, just stuff like this that's going on with him. And I don't know. I mean, I think he'll survive it. It'll all be fine. But that's a tough way to start when you're in a city like Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Because, listen, they just watched the Eagles win the Super Bowl. And now Villanova wins the NCAA championship. The expectations are high to begin with a young club that's getting better, you would presume, and has some good young talent. And you bring in a new manager. Yeah, there are some expectations. And, of course, in Philly, few places does it go sideways better than it does in Philadelphia, right? When it goes bad, it could go really bad to where you enjoy the theater from afar. I want to ask you this, because this is my sense with Kapler. with Dave Roberts, with a lot of managers. You saw with Dave Roberts' use of Ross Stripling against the Giants when he had the no-hitter going. Isn't a lot of this coming from above? Isn't
yeah.
this coming from the front office now where the managers aren't making the call on some of this stuff anymore?
I agree. I mean, I think maybe the game is getting too much into analytics where, you know, managers are sort of handcuffed by what they're supposed to do instead of just managing. Sometimes a manager just has to go with his gut feeling. And that's what I always like about Bruce Bochy is that, yeah, he's got the analytics sitting there, but sometimes he's going to go with his gut and you have to trust that and it's going to work for you and against you. But if you're always going by what a computer printout says, I don't think that's going to work out over the long haul.
I don't think so either, because you're dealing with human beings. You're managing men. And that's where Bruce Bochy has been pretty good the last few years. Of course, last year everything went wrong, you know, and it all comes down to the players and how they perform and whether you have good players or not. And, I mean, things went terribly wrong with the bullpen last year at critical moments, too. But I think you've got to have that combo. And I do think the Giants have taken steps in the direction of analytics, and I think that's explained some of the changes in the coaching staff. And I think Bochy probably had to go along with that and also is a little more open to it as the years have gone on. He's old school, but he's not to the point where he's closed-minded. And I think you have to be that way in this game. Information is good. Having more information is great to help you manage a game and so forth. But you are dealing with human beings. You do get a feel about who's you know, ready and who isn't. And only the manager, only the people in that clubhouse know that. You know, I remember when Felipe Alou managed, it was like the pendulum was way over in the other direction, right? it was all about gut feeling. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But you can't be boxed into any one way of thinking, I think, the bottom line, whether it's the analytical side or the human side.
I agree with that. Well, Ray, we're going to be talking a lot here in the coming weeks. We've got Giants podcast. We've got the Warriors going into the playoffs next weekend. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great time right now for sports in the Bay Area.
Yeah, Sportspalooza. I told you Villanova would win, by the way.
That's right, you did.
I said they look better than anybody. I didn't come out on the podcast and say, put down money on Villanova, although I should have. And I'm liking Rory and or Dustin at the Masters. Rory looking a little stronger right now.
Ooh, we'll see. You know, it's always funny when people listen to a podcast a couple days later, they're like, what's wrong with that guy? Or, oh man, that guy was great, you know, or we're talking about, you know, Strickland's doing so well and then he blows a save, you know, 2 days later, they're like, what were they talking about on that podcast?
See, we should have done the podcast Thursday night. That would have given us time to breathe. so nobody could prove us wrong in the next 48 hours. So yeah, now that I've said all those things, you know that Sandoval is going to hit into a double play and Strickland's going to blow a save.
Exactly. All right, Ray, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good, Joe.
That's Ray Woodson. He'll join us every week to talk Giants baseball. Of course, Ray has been with us for Dubs OT throughout the Golden State Warriors season, and that will continue when the playoffs get underway next weekend. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.